Oh, I can get it. I just wanted you to be able to turn it down.
There we go. Yes. Okay. Come, Lord Jesus. That's always our prayer when we're together and when we're alone, that Jesus be all the center in everything. And you know, when I think about this theme and how I've been joking about how it's on the coffee cups and on the calendar, and you know, you see this, I think it's because we are seeking to be still, and we don't really know how to do it. And we grasp, oh, I love this verse. I'm gonna drink it, my tea from this mug. You know, and it just is elusive, isn't it? The rest. And just to bring us back, we've been seeing that through Psalm 46 that God is that place of rest. God is that refuge. He's readily found to be our help. So because of who he is, we can be still. And we saw through the life of Jehoshaphat earlier that yet that be still doesn't mean sit still, do nothing. And yet it's so good to move towards this rest somehow, this be still, because we're seeking it. And I want to spend the last session with Jesus' own invitation. We sing, come, Lord Jesus, come, because we want him to meet with us. Yet he said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That all elusive. That's what we want to finish with today. If you want to turn to Matthew 11, it was in the program. Maybe you're already there. I'm going to read Matthew 11 and verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I could tell by the looks on your faces when I was talking about rest that you all find it as elusive as I do. And the world is running after rest. It's funny, isn't it? Because we look for it in entertainment and we look for it in alcohol and or parties or vacations. That's my thing. It's like just a beach and a book. You know, that quiet, to create the quiet. But it's not lasting, is it? And there's no party, and there's no entertainment or holiday that is going to be equal to what Jesus Christ only can offer. And that he is offering here to his listeners. because any other rest is not lasting. It's not a rest for the soul, the inner part of our person. And he extends this invitation to the weary and heavy laden to find rest for their souls. And all that's needed is they would come to him. How hard can that be? Well, I find it hard sometimes. A simple definition of the word come: to move or travel towards someone, to draw near, to travel in order to be with someone, or to join someone in something. Doesn't sound difficult. Sometimes Jesus combines it with come after, come follow me, but not here. This is the only place that this invitation is recorded in the Gospels, in the story of Jesus' life. And he just says, come to me. Draw near. And we need to realize that this is not a new desire in the heart of God. This didn't happen just when Jesus came on the scene. This echoes and re-echoes through the whole Bible. Ever since men fell into the disobedience of sin in the garden, God went looking for Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, but they were hiding. God is holy, and there is no blemish or sin or impurity in him. And by taking that willful, rebellious step, men took a step away from him. And the gap and the separation has begun. There is a vast distance between a holy God and his creation. We are not holy people. And this distance is a source of grief for our Creator. It grieves him. The metaphor that the Bible uses about us, the picture, is sheep. We're like sheep going astray, wandering away from God, who is likened to a good shepherd. Why would we go away? Because it's in our hearts to wander away from goodness. We are like sheep. And so in the Old Testament, you see it repeated. Only a couple instances that came to my mind was when the Lord invites through Isaiah the prophet, and he says, come, let us reason together. Because even though your sins are blood red, I am able to make them as white as snow if you will just come to me and reason with me. And another place, the Lord says, look to me, all ends of the earth, and be saved. He's saying, look, come, come. That gap is a source of grief to God. In his lifetime, Jesus would point out to the very religious-looking people and say they are always looking in the religious scriptures, but they're not willing, what? They're not willing to come to me. And that was a source of grief to Jesus. An appearance of religion, but no personal connection to his person. So this is why that open invitation, come to me, I will give you rest. it's open to everyone, his hearers. It's open to us. It's coming down to the through the ages, through the book, to us, come to me. But it is up to us to come. We must respond to his invitation and move towards him. And then you might say, well, I don't qualify, I'm unholy. Who does he address? You weary, you heavy laden. He didn't say, you who have your act together, you can come to me. You who don't have your act together and you're sinful sinners, don't come to me. He said, the weary, the heavy laden. Flip back in your Bibles to Psalm 55. Since you're in the Psalms, I'm going to make you look at this one. Maybe you've already looked at it together. This has been a theme in our life, just because this verse was speaking to my husband, and it became a theme because he kept talking about it and talking about it, and it finally started to sink into my head and get around, and so it's become this kind of repeated thing that the Lord keeps using, Psalm 55, 22. And David encourages his listeners and says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved. And just by studying that verse, my husband learned that that word burden is only used one time in the Bible. And you know, there are many verses in the Bible that talk about your burdens, but this one word is unique, and it means that which is given. That which is given. It's your lot. Your lot in life is what God has given to you. And my lot is what God has given to me. And even if I've got a pretty good lot, I still have myself. And I can be a burden to myself. And I still have my own sin before God. And that is my burden. So that which is given, cast it back on the Lord. So just by being alive, we know we qualify. Jesus said, are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Yes, we all have that which is given to us just by being alive. We qualify to come to Jesus. Let's go back to Matthew 11. The very fact that we're alive means that we have something to carry. And Jesus is aware that his listeners may be those weary, heavy laden people. And I thought, well, to be laden means to be carrying something, but to be heavy laden means you're being pushed to the limit of your strength. And that is what life is like sometimes. It is pushing you to the limit. What is that which he has given in your life? How is life treating you? In 1988, we moved to Japan to do music evangelism with the Japanese churches there. And there were five of us on a team and a one-year-old little girl. And we moved there to do music evangelism among the churches in Japan. But the ministry that invited us to come, they actually smuggled Bibles into China. And so all of these connections that they had in the Japanese churches, they would organize holidays for the Japanese Christians. And then the Japanese would take their bags, one for me, one for the Chinese Christians, full of Bibles, and they would go into China on holiday, and they would somehow rendezvous with the Chinese believers, leave the one bag, and go off on their holiday. And so we really did move there to work in Japan, but the ministry leader decided that we really ought to go to China too and just see, you know, what it was like to take Bibles into China and see what China was like, because we were kind of representing their ministry anyway. So they set five of us up with 600 Bibles. Remember my topic was push to the limits of your strength? And the Japanese ladies who were involved in this ministry, they were so cute. They're these petite little things about Danae's size. And they would laugh, you know. You cannot carry the Bibles, but Jesus can. And you honestly just thought, you know, get real, right? But that was their heart, you know? It's overwhelming and it's also scary to go through those borders. You can't carry it, but Jesus can. That was their little motto. And we did make it through. It was scary, and I will spare you all the details, but those bags were so heavy. So imagine us, we arrive into Shanghai on a ship, and our gangway is two flights of stairs. Like, it's going down into, well, you know, you may never come back. And we're carrying these bags, pushed beyond the limits, but the Lord helped us. So life can be like that. Just push to the limits. And Jesus empathizes. He understands that. And so he addresses the people. Sometimes we're just on the floor and we're saying, how can I carry this? And our strength is running out and we just want to flop and rest. So I qualify. You probably qualify too. Interestingly, the definition of the word rest, I will give you rest, again tells us to rest is to stop the activity that you're doing. Surprise, just like be still. But the word for rest in Matthew 11 is actually got a different quality to it. It's to actually infuse strength back into. So it would be almost better translated, revive. I will revive you. It's not just to stop and flop, but it's Jesus will give us rest that restores and revives our life. What is the source? Jesus. There's no other source for this. Only the one who rose from the dead can give that quality of life. There's no other rest like rest for our souls. There's no beach. There's no party. There's no drug. No shopping. Uh-huh. That's going to give us rest. No food. Not that any of us here turn to food for rest. So how does Jesus propose to do this? What does he tell them? Come to me and I will give you rest. He says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We have an invitation to come. So we must start by coming to his person. In our hearts, Jesus, you are there. Here I am, presenting ourselves, just simply coming. Yet there's more action for us to take because he has more to offer. Take my yoke. Now, it's really a puzzle to me that he wants to give me rest by giving me a yoke. That doesn't quite seem to equate. What am I signing up for here? A yoke is, of course, a crossbeam that lays across the shoulders of two oxen, and it joins them to combine and direct all that strength. Together, they bear the drag of the yoke or the cart. Together, it keeps them synchronized, in step with each other. It keeps them parallel. How is this an instrument of rest? Well, I see several things in this. Firstly, we already know that we all are carrying something, that which is given to us, just by breathing and living. We all are carrying a burden, our own yoke, the yoke of our own choosing, the Bible calls it. But it's not Jesus' intention that we carry our burden alone. Isn't that amazing? But on the other hand, he does not ask us if he can come under our yoke and fit in with our yoke, does he? He says, take my yoke. It's my life, his way. It can't be my life, my way. I have to come under his yoke. You see, it's Jesus' yoke he's offering, and it binds me to him. And that's the big benefit. It's for us to come under his yoke. He intends to lead. Now, the rabbis in Jesus' day used this term yoke actually for their schools. They were the teachers, and you would come under their yoke when you went to their schools in Israel. So that was interesting to me to learn, because we are going to come under Jesus' teaching as our rabbi, our teacher, and we'll be in his school. We're going to come under his guidance and his instruction as our teacher. And so by offering us his yoke, Jesus is expressing his purpose. He's going to become guide, teacher, companion, in a mentoring relationship with anyone who will just come. Come, take the yoke. And as a rabbi, as a teacher, he will be committed to us, the learner, to keep us on the straight path, to help us carry our load called life, that which is given. And so really, to wrap it up in the simplest words possible, Jesus' goal for my life, once I come, is nothing less than unity with him. That's the yoke. I am joined to Jesus now for life and for everlasting life. This is shown elsewhere over in John. Jesus talks about, he gives an interesting picture. He talks about, I am the vine, and you are the branches. This is Sunday school. And he says in John 15, verses 4 and 5, he says, abide, that means live or remain in me, and I in you, Son of God, flawless, perfect, he will abide in me, with me. That's what he's saying. That's on offer here. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it stays in the vine, neither can you unless you stay connected to me. Unity, dependence, connection, that's what's on offer. Come to me. Take my yoke. But he offers still more, doesn't he, in Matthew? He says, take my yoke and learn of me. Once we come and come under his yoke, that life with Jesus, as I've already alluded to, is going to be a life of continually learning. He's our rabbi, teacher now. Continually learning. Learn from his person. Learn of me. Like the pupils and their rabbis. So what that means is, it's my part to do the learning. And that means I need to stay in a place where I'm teachable. Did you ever try to teach someone who didn't want to learn from you? Oh, you just give up. If they don't want to learn, they don't want to learn. It's very frustrating. But see, we have to stay in a place where we're teachable. And this is part of what Brenda was sharing, that, you know, life can get us sidetracked on other things. And a year ago, last month, I had a small hernia surgery. And I had no idea how such a small thing could take such a long time to heal. But if it's on your abdomen and you're constantly bending and lifting and things. So all of my nighttime, I was telling Julie the other day, all my nighttime routine of sitting in bed and reading, I just physically couldn't do it anymore. And so life just has this way sometimes of grinding you down, and you can find yourself in a very lukewarm place because of the things that you're going through. And I found myself in a very discouraged or kind of apathetic, going through the motions kind of thing. And it was actually looking at the beginning of this year, looking at this invitation and that little word, come, that just so gripped my heart. All I have to do is move back towards Jesus. Just move back. Take steps. You know, because we never want to lose that teachable heart that is saying, what do you want? What do you want to show me through this? Because life can really dull us down, and the weariness will take our edge off of really wanting to press in and press on to know the Lord, as the prophet says. And Jesus is a gentle, humble teacher. He's so easy to learn from. It's the same if you have to try to learn someone from someone who's arrogant. It's horrible to deal with attitude, but not so with Jesus. And you know, it is in learning of him that we find the rest for our souls. So I just want to finish up our time together by considering how he teaches. Some of us have already been in his school for some time, but it's still good to review how he teaches. His teaching for us, firstly, is very individual. Psalm 33 and verse 15 says, he fashions their hearts individually, like a personal trainer. It's faith exercise because he wants your dependence on him to get stronger, not weaker. So he's going to custom make your life to strengthen your confidence in him. How does that happen? In my life, it looks like things, circumstances are leading me into this corner, out of control. Oh, Lord, yeah, I need you here. He the circumstances will get us to the place where we go, oh, yeah, need to lean on the Lord now. And he fashions it individually for me, for you. His way with you would not suit me. And his way with you, wait, I just said that. His way with me would not benefit you, or it would be too hard. Or his way with you would crush me, you see, because we're all so different. And he knows. He knows every little innuendo of who you are. So we have to realize it's useless to look around, don't we? And say, oh, why does she have it so good? Or why did I get this difficulty? Mm-mm. It's not relevant because it's all designed out of his love and his training for you personally. He's after you and that connection of dependence with you. So we don't look around at others and say why. We look to Jesus for that which is given to us. Everything is designed to make us grow in dependence on him. Faith or size, it's faith training. And secondly, it's individual, but secondly, we realize that learn from me means that he does want to communicate truth to us. That's what a teacher does. A teacher has a pupil, and they want to communicate truth to them and cause them to learn. That's the definition of a teacher, to cause to learn. That's what a teacher does. He wants to communicate truth to us, and so that we will begin to think like our teacher. And this happens through his word. In Luke 6, Jesus draws that picture, you know, of the person who hears and acts upon his word, being like a person who builds their house on a rock. They are building on something solid. This does not mean that you understand everything in this book. I think we won't understand everything in this book until we see God. It just means that what we do know and what we do understand, we take it into our life and we live by it. See, he who hears and does my word is like the one that builds his house on a rock. This is where the truth gets communicated to us. And that stability and security is the will of God for you. Stability and security. That's what he wants for our life. And there's a lot of ways to get this truth into us. There is our personal time that we can try to manage to get with the Lord. There's our church. There is Christian music that actually is Bible lyrics. There's some that's also kind of wishy-washy. Just saying. There are now, in our day and age, there's these things called podcasts. You can download them to your gadgets. There's Christian radio in some places. I don't know. Any in Mallorca, probably? Yeah. Okay. There are audio Bibles. There are websites with incredible study tools. Blue Letter Bible is a great, .com is a great study tool. Not that I'm trying to, advertise anything here, but they have different versions of the Bible. They have Greek and Hebrew lexicons on them. They have teaching notes from just outlines from Bible teachers. They have audio teachings on Blue Letter Bible. We have so many ways to get the word into us. And, ask each other. I've heard about a couple different ways just over lunch and yesterday as well. So we can share those resources. Romans 12, verse 2 tells us that it is through the word of God that our lives are transformed as our minds are renewed to think like God thinks. And I want to say to you, this is the purest, truest brain cleansing. It is not brainwashing. It is brain cleansing. Because the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver purified in a furnace. Okay? So there, when we are under Jesus' yoke and saying, let me learn of you, and we're asking the Holy Spirit to teach us from the word, there's nothing harmful. There's never going to be something harmful because they're pure words. They're eternal words. So it's through the word that our lives are transformed as our minds are renewed. And the outcome of that renewing is the ability to understand what God wants for our lives. And that is something we all would like to have. And here's how it works, okay? The Bible says that this is living and active. This is not like any other book you'll ever pick up. But handle with prayer, because it is God's word, so ask God to cause it to speak to you. It's living and active, and Jesus said in one of his parables, it's like a seed, which is also a living thing. And the more of that living seed we put in, the better. Now, Jesus said that the work of the Holy Spirit, who he would send after his resurrection, was he will bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. But here's the key. He can't bring it into our remembrance if it's not in there in the first place. I was laying in bed and I was praying about the retreat. And I was saying, oh, retreat, retreat. So what do you want for this retreat? And the verse just came, come to me, I will give you rest. But I put the verse in there by reading it first, and then the Holy Spirit brought it back to my memory, you see? And what a seed does is it takes time. So when we put God's word into us, it might seem like it's so much blah, blah. And it might not seem to be living. And that's the tragedy, is we stop and we put it down. But seeds take time. And if you have a garden at all, you know this. Because you go out in the spring and you go, okay, I must tidy the garden. And you say, oh, how did all these weeds get here? And you clear the weeds and then you do a nice till, because that makes the soil nice and loose. And all of a sudden, there are more weeds. And they're so evenly distributed across the... Well, you just tilled the seeds up. The seeds that were too low for the warmth, they've come now to the top, and so now they're going to germinate. And this is what God's word is like. We sow it. We sow it into our life. It doesn't seem living. It seems like we don't get part of it, but we keep reading it because it's his words. And we know it's life. And someday, when we need it, the Holy Spirit can then bring it to our remembrance. And we think, where did that come from? Well, it came from the seed that just needed time to germinate in my life. God will bring to life his living word in your life and my life. And so any way possible, just keep putting it in. So doesn't it make sense that when we come to Jesus and we willingly come under his yoke and we learn from his person that we start to think like him, and then his yoke is easy? Doesn't that make sense? Because there's no more tugging. I'm not just walking with him, I'm thinking like him. So there's no more question who's leading. There's no more struggle, there's no more fight, there's no more pull. My yoke is easy. Because you've come, and you've come under, and you've learned me, and we can now walk in unity without the struggle about who's in charge. No more desire to be pulling away. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is amazing, that this is our God, Jesus Christ. Just like that offer of the vine to the branch, that he wants to abide with us, that he wants to pull life with us and walk in unity with us. To be our guide and our teacher and our companion and to lighten our burden. So let's just come willingly under his yoke with surrender, because any other way, it leads to death. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Yes, Jesus Christ is very exclusive. But any other way leads to death. So we need to search our hearts, because without him, our burden of sin and our burden of circumstances and our burden of life is our own. Martin Luther said this quote, I love it. He said, either sin is with you lying on your shoulders, or it is lying on Christ, the Lamb of God. Now, if it is lying on your back, you are lost. But if it is resting on Christ, you are free and will be saved. Choose what you want. According to law and justice, your sins should no doubt remain on you, but grace has cast your sins on Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And if God were to reason with us on any other terms, we would be done for. And we want to finish our conference by having communion together today. And the communion, we're told in God's word, is a time for those who have put their trust in Jesus, to remember him. He had that Last Supper where he sat with his friends at the Passover, and he gave another metaphor because he took a loaf of bread and he said, "This is like my body." And then he tore it. This is what happened on the cross. And he distributed it to them. And then he took the cup of wine and he said, "This is like my blood, which is poured out for the sins of many." And that also is what happened on the cross. So it's for those who embrace that forgiveness to remember. And that's what we want to do today. Today, Danae's going to lead us in another song of worship while the things are passed out for us.